This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. To buy local or not to buy local, every holiday shopping season, that decision gets a little more fraught in the age of e-commerce. For instance, this year, online retailer Amazon has its Price Check smartphone app.
If you haven't heard about it, here's how it works. You go to your neighborhood store and shop the old-fashioned way. You leaf through a book, you try on a sweater, tickle an Elmo or two, maybe get some assistance from a friendly salesperson. And when you've decided what you want, you whip out your phone and scan the barcode.
Amazon tells you whether they have it, and these days, there's a good chance they do. There's also a good chance it's cheaper on Amazon, especially since you get a 5% discount just for using the app.
A couple of clicks later, you can buy from Amazon and have it on its way to your door, sales tax free. And you didn't even have to wait in the line at checkout. Your neighborhood shop did the hard work of selling you on the item, but the actual sale goes to Amazon.
Obviously, brick-and-mortar retailers haven't been wild about this, but some of them are doing their own innovation in response. Take Magic Beans, an independent toy store and baby supply shop in Coolidge Corner in Brookline. Owners Ellie and Sherry Gurok have been able to offer at least part of the Amazon Price Check experience with an app of their own.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
I've got an iPhone and a 2.5-year-old niece who is expecting something cool for Christmas.
Okay.
What can you do for me?
Let's go check out the toys.
All right.
What does your niece like to do?
She's getting a kitchen for, that's her big present that my parents are giving her.
Perfect. So 2.5 is a great age for make-believe, so I would definitely recommend some of these make-believe toys.
Yes.
Ice cream set's very popular, the felt sandwich, the cookies, even things like the playtime fruits and vegetables over here would be great accessories for the kitchen, all these things that enhance make-believe play.
Okay, I'm liking the ice cream sundae set here. Say I want to buy this.
Yep.
Now what do I do?
You can go ahead and get your phone out.
Okay.
Have you got the app all installed?
Yeah, I searched just for Magic Beans in the App Store, and here it is.
Yep, there it is.
So I open it.
Okay, so we would need to sign in and create an account before you do anything
else. No, let's do that.
Okay.
Okay.
So now you're going to click Scan Items.
Scan Items. Oh, and my camera comes up.
Exactly. And if you just go ahead and take a look at that barcode right there.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, dude, I didn't even have to hit anything.
Nope.
It just sees it.
It just sees it, and it knows exactly what it is. And you can click Buy Now.
Buy Now?
Mm-hmm.
It'll charge it to my credit card.
Yep.
And I can just walk right out of the store with it right now?
You would want to verify it with one of our employees. And for you, because it's a gift, you might also want to ask for some free gift wrap.
Okay.
But yeah, basically you'd be done.
So, Sherry, how many of your customers have been shopping this way?
Well, we don't give out exact numbers, but what I will say is that on Black Friday weekend, we had 20% of our customers opt to use the app. And year over year from last Black Friday, we had a 285% increase in the number of transactions through the app.
This is something that you've been doing for about a year now, so it predates the Amazon Price Check app that's all the controversy right
yes.
now. That said, you're offering this holiday season 10% off to people who use the app. Is that in response to the competition from Amazon?
No, we had that plan long before
we
knew what Amazon was doing.
I'm curious, as a local retailer, how much do you think that it's incumbent upon all of us to support our local businesses in the holiday season? Or is it just up to you to sort of outsmart the e-retailers?
I think it's a combination of both things. I think that it's incumbent on brick-and-mortar independent retailers to provide the absolute best shopping experience they possibly can, to be really smart about their marketing, and to be really creative. At the same time, I think that if people in the community don't realize the benefits of having small businesses in their neighborhoods, and they don't turn around and support those people at the time of year when they need it the most, then those stores aren't going to be around for them, and that's going to have a huge negative impact on the whole community.
Broadly speaking, how's business been this year?
It's been okay. You know, I think that 2011 has been a tough year. There have been a lot of factors going against small business. The economy has been rough, and I think that also the emergence of things like flash sales, daily deal sites, has really been an issue for small brick-and-mortar independents the whole year. But, you know, we're feeling very optimistic about how the holiday season's gone so far. And, of course, this is the week for last-minute shoppers. We have an advantage because everything is here and ready. Someone can come in, pick it up, get it wrapped, and take it home. And there's a convenience factor there once you've passed the deadline for shipping on most websites.
Well, have a great holiday season and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Shelley Gurock and her husband Ellie own Magic Beans in Coolidge Corner. Well, one person who's made some enemies recently among the brick-and-mortar crowd, especially independent booksellers, is Slate technology writer Farhad Manju, who argued in a column last week that online retailers have gotten so good they deserve to trounce the local guys, at least when it comes to books. I talked with Farhad earlier and described the Magic Bean app to him.
Wow, yeah, that sounds pretty clever, actually. I mean, that would get around many of the problems that people have with shopping in stores at the holidays, waiting in line.
Yeah, and it struck me that the big way in which the Magic Beans app can't compete with Amazon is that it can't provide the virtually infinite inventory that Amazon can provide.
Right, but you get your item immediately, so, you know, that's the advantage of using it. I think that's the kind of innovation that retail stores should try to think about, to try to sort of offer advantages in response to what has become an extremely dominant Amazon.
Well, you have been a defender of Amazon, and I would say e-commerce in general, and you wrote a widely read and hotly debated essay in Slate last week in which you argued that Amazon is superior to the beloved independent bookseller. But in the same essay, even you couldn't bring yourself to defend the Price Check app. Explain why not.
I am a fan of checking prices when I go into retail stores. And I've used Amazon's system and I've used others to figure out if I'm getting a great deal. And in some times, I actually buy the item at the store, because if I'm only saving a dollar buying it online versus I can get it right now from the store, I'll go with the store. So it doesn't always work out in the online store's favor. But the other thing that Amazon did was it told customers that they could enter in the price that they found at the local store into the app, and that would sort of give Amazon some intelligence on its retail competitors. And it wasn't great for Amazon's brand to be so muscular about fighting brick-and-mortar stores.
Well, moving on just from the Price Check app, for those listeners who might not have read your Slate piece, why do you think that Amazon has a legitimate edge over local booksellers in particular? You argue that Amazon is so much better at selling books that people shouldn't even bother to support indie stores, that their affection is misplaced.
So I was responding to an opinion piece in the New York Times by the novelist Richard Russo.
Friend of this program?
Yes, and he is a fan of bookstores. And he and a number of other novelists he spoke to argued that it was something like Amazon is killing literary culture. And I thought that was simply bogus. I happen to be someone who is not a fan of the book buying experience at bookstores. I find them difficult to search for a book at a bookstore. I find the selection small. There are some bookstores where the staff have been extremely friendly to me. There have been other bookstores where the staff have been not very helpful. And the other thing is that Amazon is vastly cheaper. If you want to buy a hardcover, a new hardcover at a physical bookstore, especially at an independent bookstore, you're going to pay list price. So for a hardcover, that's about $35 or so. At Amazon, you're going to pay half that usually, $17. And that's fine. I think people can like both kinds of things. What I disagree with is the idea that if you buy books and if you spend most of your book budget on Amazon, that you're somehow aiding this death of literary culture. And I disagree for a simple reason, which is that I think that the main component of literary culture ought to be the reading of books. And there is no other company in the world that has aided reading books more than Amazon. From Amazon's numbers, when somebody buys a Kindle, they begin buying books at twice the rate that they used to purchase books in the past. And that's got to be great for authors and the publishing industry. The fact that people are buying and reading more books through a device like that can't be killing literary culture. And even if you exclude the Kindle, the fact that books are cheaper increases their sales. And what you want, if you are an author, if you're a novelist like Richard Russo, is you want people to read your books. And if your books are cheaper, more people will read them. And that also, I say, can't be bad for literary culture.
Well, you also argue that the traditional edge that the bricks and mortar bookstore has had that being that you can talk to people about the book that you're considering buying, that you can leaf through it, that these are functions that Amazon has effectively been able to simulate through their system and, in fact, perhaps even do better than the bricks and mortar store.
Yeah, so both Barnes & Noble's Nook system and with Amazon's Kindle, you can download the first chapter. Even if you don't own one of those devices, you can download the first chapter and get a sample of the book delivered to your computer or any of your other gadgets for free. And, you know, Amazon has this look inside the book system. So you can get a pretty good idea of what the book is about. And then, of course, there are reviews on Amazon. And Amazon has a great recommendations engine. It is based on books that you've read in the past, that you've purchased in the past, based on other customers who share your taste. And at a bookstore, you're going to get the employees' recommendations. Now, while those employees might be well-read, their tastes will likely differ from yours. And I think that for many people, Amazon's recommendations might be superior.
Farhad, where I live in Cambridge, I have this very community-oriented bookstore called Porter Square Books. And besides being a hub for Boston area authors, they also sell ebooks both at the store and on their website. The prices I have found are comparable to Amazon, and at least some of that money ends up going to my local store instead of to Jeff Bezos and his shareholders. Considering all of that, would you really argue that I should spurn Porter Square Books for Amazon?
I mean, it's your choice to go to any retail store you want. And I think that's an example of, you know, an innovation that bookstores all over the country might consider. And I think that there are many programs for them to sell ebooks, and there are print on demand systems now that are coming to stores that would make them more competitive with systems like Amazon. What I just disagree with is the idea that if you decide, you know, you're going to not go to this bookstore because you just find it easier to buy the books on Amazon, I just don't think that you're helping harm the culture in any way if you do that. I think that, you know, if you buy books, you are part of literary culture and you're helping.
Farhad, strong as your argument may be, I wonder and worry about the extent to which Amazon's dominance expands beyond just books. They appear to be on a campaign of dominating virtually all retail. And sure, as you mentioned, you can read and sample a book online now before you buy it, just like you could at the bookstore. But now Amazon has these programs where you can buy a shirt, get it shipped overnight, and if it doesn't fit, ship it back for free. So will you soon be writing a piece arguing that no one should mourn the death of the local clothing boutique? Where does it end?
I think that you will see high-end clothing boutiques survive. There's no way that Amazon can replicate those functions or, you know, match the experience that some people cherish of going into a store and having someone pick out a shirt for you and fit it for you. So I think that both kinds will survive. I don't think that, you know, Amazon will kill those more specialized services, but Amazon might well kill the kind of the commodity services that I think many people don't enjoy. You know, who enjoys going to shop at a huge chain store this season where you're going to get, hit by shopping carts and stuck in lines and it'll be noisy and you'll have to spend a lot of time parking? You know, some people might really love that. I don't. And I like, you know, replacing that with a half an hour on a website and getting everything at my door 2 days later.
Last question. What, if anything, will Farhad Manju be buying locally this holiday season?
In the piece, one of the things that I argued was that some people think that buying books locally is a kind of you're supporting some kind of local cultural institution. And, you know, to some extent you are. The bookstore functions as a place where people who like books gather. But the thing to know about books is that, most books that you buy are mass-produced books published in New York. They are not local goods. Real local goods are, farmers markets produce food that was grown nearby, or, you know, your local theater company or your symphony, all of the stuff that is actually local, authentically local. And I go to a farmer's market every weekend, and I do so because I think that I like to support local producers of food.
Farhad Manju is Slate's technology columnist. You can find a link to his article that we've been referencing at radioboston.org. Farhad, thank you and happy holidays.
Thanks a lot. Same to you.
And that's it for today. Tomorrow on Radio Boston, a study finds 1 in 13 teenage girls living in poor neighborhoods in Boston have engaged in group sex, often unprotected, often against their will.
We'll find out what researchers think is going on. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. Join us tomorrow for more Radio Boston.